I can wait a minute or I can be ready. Welcome. It's great to have y'all here this evening. And those of us that are online, if you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing Shout to the Lord.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, refuge and strength, let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship you. So shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing power and majesty.
Thank you.
Jesus. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Know the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When his loving arms receive us, and his songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a pick of him this evening? Oh, no? Okay. 746? All right, 746. I don't know. I'm still turning. He keeps me singing. 746. All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, we'll have words up there eventually, I think. Yeah, they'll be up there. There they are. All right. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing. Always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, and keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall cross my wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else have a pick of him this evening, or a song God's given you, or a tune, or a lyric? 581? All righty. 581. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're welcome.
All right, all right. Well, good to see each and every one of you tonight. Good to have visitors tonight. Amen. All right, very good. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. All right. Good to have you tonight, ma'am. All right, very good. Those of you with us online, good to have y'all with us as well. What do we have in the area of praises tonight? Anybody got a praise? Praise, praise, praise. Yes, sir. All right, amen. Okay. All right. Safety. Don't have to call. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I don't blame you. Who wants to be up on a roof? Amen. How about that Truth or Treats or Fall Festival? That was good, huh? Yeah, Fall Festival was great. Nobody got hurt? Everybody got plenty of candy? Everybody got plenty of candy, huh? Yeah, Fall Festival was great. Great time. Good, good, good. All right. Any other praises? Yeah, we got some rain. We got some more rain coming. More. We'll take every bit of it, man. Amen, amen. Rain. What else? Anything else? Any other praises? All right. Let's think about some prayer requests then. What do we got? Jeanette? All right, Kevin. Amen. Way to go, Kev. Yeah. Right. Very good. What else? What else? Anybody else? Yeah, Ronnie. Yes. All right. Yes. That's right. That is correct. Yeah. Infected. Very good. Very good. Okay. What else? What else? Yes, sir. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, right. Okay. Amen. Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, we'll do it. Amen. What else? Any other prayer? Unspoken. Okay. What else? Anything else? Yes. Dorothy Hart's in the loss of her husband, Don. No, she was a little, she was 4 years younger than him. She's 89, I think. Close enough. Is she going on 90? Yeah. She was 88 going on, I don't know, I can't remember. Yes. Shared traveling. What else? What else? Anything else? You got them. Got them. Antibiotic shortage. Yeah, right. Yeah, and it's antibiotics now, huh? All right, man. We'll lift that up, shortages. Yeah, amen. Anything else? Anybody else? Got it down. Elections, I got that. Is that it? Is that good? All right, let's go. Yes, ma'am. The fugitive, yes, ma'am, okay. Now, where is this fugitive getting loose at? What happened? Magnolia. What's going on with that now? Oh, my. Still on the run. And when was this? Yeah. Okay. All right, we'll pray for that. And then the family and the loss of that little bitty baby girl that the daddy stabbed her to death and then took his own life. Yeah, Ronnie. She did. She did not take that. Well, they didn't offer another interview. Yes, continue to pray for Stephanie. All right, all right. Oh, man, yeah. South Korea. A lot of people, well, I have to tell you. They're just saying we're coming up on that year anniversary from that astral world, yeah. South Korea, trampling deaths. All right, all right. Y'all ready? Let's pray, amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you that we can lift these praises up to you, Lord. We're thankful that we have a place to meet tonight, and that we have the Holy Spirit, and Lord, that we're saved, and Lord, we just rejoice in our salvation and are very thankful that you have brought us out of darkness into light. You have saved us unto yourself and promised to keep us for all eternity. We just rejoice in that tonight. We thank you for that. We know you're a gracious and a merciful God to us, a forgiving God, and we're just blessed beyond measure. We praise you tonight for who you are and what you do and how you do it. Lord, sometimes we don't understand everything, but we know that you are sovereignly in control. And that, Lord, in the end, it's all going to make sense one day. So, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for you allowing us to be a part of your world and giving us another day of life and just giving us opportunities to praise you and worship you. We praise you for that tonight. We thank you for John's safety, Lord, and helping out a friend. And we praise you for that, that was a safe endeavor and no falls, no coming off the house, Lord. So we just give you praise and glory for that. We are thankful and we praise you for the success of the Fall Festival. And Lord, a great gift to the community. And people were blessed and kids had a good time and nobody was traumatized and everybody got plenty of sugar that night. So we just praise you and thank you for that. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the rain. And Lord, we continue to pray for rain as we're still about a foot short for the year, Lord. You know what normally falls on this old earth right here. So Lord, we're just calling out to you that we catch up before the end of the year so we don't start 2023 in a drought. So, Lord, we just ask that you send us more. And thank you for what you've given us thus far. But, Lord, we're praying for more rain down here in southeast Texas. Lord, as we think about these prayer requests, we lift up James's family to you tonight. We pray for his mom, Jeanette. Pray for her health. Pray for her physical well-being. We lift up Kevin to you, Lord. Help him with his issues, and we're thankful that he is still attending church and leading his family to church, Lord. What a great blessing and testimony that is. So, Lord, we just pray you continue to work in Kevin's life. We lift up Alita to you tonight, Lord, and we pray for her eyes and these injections that she's undergone. And, Lord, just pray that as the dilation wears off that the focus would be better. And the eyes would just continue to heal. And, Lord, you would just see her through this issue she's had with her eyes. Miss Davlin, we pray for her tonight. And, Lord, we're so thankful for all the work she does at the school and all the volunteer work she does over here at the church with Children's Church. And, Lord, we just lift her up to you, her and John, and we just pray that you be with her. You bring healing to that hand and to that finger. And, Lord, you just give those physicians, doctors, the knowledge to knock that infection out of that hand before it spreads any further. Lord, we lift up Frank's request for Miss Linda tonight and this broken arm that she's got. We pray you mend it. Lord, you bring it back as good as new. There wouldn't be any bad side effects or arthritis set up in that thing. Lord, we just pray you touch her body, bring healing to her. We lift up this situation with the fugitive here in Magnolia, Lord. We pray that you would lead and guide law enforcement to apprehend this criminal, get him back where he needs to be, Lord, paying his debt to society. So, Father God, we pray that it not end up like what we went through several months ago with that family losing so many grandkids and grandfather and all that jazz, Lord. We pray that he be apprehended and get back to where he belongs. Lord, we do continue to pray for the elections, and we're thankful that many people have early voted. And, Lord, we just pray that people would vote a Christian conscience. They'd really think about what they're doing when they go in there and really think about how you would have them vote, how you would lead them vote. Lord, we do have some voter guides in the back. If anybody's interested in that, Lord, we pray that you help them disseminate those or educate themselves or whatever it may be, God. But we're just praying for a Christ-centered election cycle. Pray you put some Christians in office in different places, make a difference in the nation. Lord, we continue to come to you and pray on behalf of the country of Ukraine. Pray for those people, Lord. Give them the strength to stand and to keep on keeping on with everything that's coming against them. Lord, we pray that you just give them the will to win, the will to fight, the will to drive out the aggressor and get back control of their sovereign land. So, Lord, just help them. Thank you for all the arms and equipment that have gone in there. We do pray for Samaritan's Purse that is there on the ground. Pray you watch over and protect them as they set up hospitals. Lord, we pray that those hospitals will make a difference in the lives of those servicemen, but it would also make a difference in the souls of the people that are lost there. And that through the ministry of medicine, there would be an opportunity to lead people to Christ and to the gospel. So, Lord, we lift Samaritan's Purse up to you tonight. We pray for the country, Ukraine. Lord, we lift up our shut-ins to you tonight. We pray for them. Pray they'd be encouraged. Lord, those that are with us online, we pray that they would be blessed. And, Lord, we're just thankful for their support, thankful for their prayers, thankful for their giving. Lord, we just pray that you bless them in a big way. Lord, as we think about the unspokens that have been talked about here tonight to put on the prayer list, Lord, we're thankful that we can voice those to you silently and that you hear us and that, Lord, we can leave them with you one more week. And, Lord, we lay them down at your feet believing that you're working on our behalf, that you're working in these situations. And, Lord, we know that you're a big God, that you're in control. So, Lord, help us trust. Help us have faith as we think about these unspoken requests. And give us a spirit of gratitude that you do hear us and that you are working on our behalf. Miss Hartz, Lord, we continue to pray for her and the loss of Don. We thank you for Don's life and thank you for the impact he made on this world. But, Lord, we pray for Dorothy right now. We just pray that you help her as she grieves the loss of her husband. Give her strength. We pray that hole that, Lord, that Don has left, you would fill it with your grace and your love. And Lord, you just fill it with comfort. And Lord, we know that Dorothy will never get over it, but Lord, we pray you help her go through it. And Lord, we pray you just be with her there each and every day as she continues to go forward in living. We lift up Sharon to you, Lord, and as she gets ready to travel, we pray you watch over her. Give her safety as she goes to Belton and back. And Lord, we lift up the smallest ones among us with all this RSV virus going around. And Lord, we do pray that there would be a development of a proper vaccine that would stave that off and fight that off. And then, Lord, we're praying for the antibiotic shortage that would get caught back up and that, Lord, there wouldn't be anybody lacking, anybody in need. But, Lord, there'd be plenty of medicine to go around to treat those that are sick. So, Lord, we lift that situation up to you. Lord, we just we lift up South Korea to you tonight. We're praying for comfort for those people. So many lives lost. Pray that you just help them come to grips with all that. Lord, just be with them. I pray that the Christians in the midst of all that would really be the hands and the feet of Christ as they speak words of comfort to those folks that have lost loved ones, kids, teenagers, college students. And Lord, in the midst of all of it, we just pray you'd bring glory and honor to yourself. And Lord, you'd bring some kind of a blessing out of all that loss, some kind of a blessing. So Lord, we're just lifting that up to you right now. And Lord, we pray for that family. I don't know their names, but it's been on the news. The father took the life of his daughter and then took his own life. We pray for that mother. We pray for that family, Lord. Comfort them. Be with them. Help them in the midst of all this tragic horror that they're going through, trying to come to grips with. Lord, watch over them. And Lord, we pray for Stephanie as she seeks unemployment. Pray that you just give her wisdom and discernment on what door to open, what door to walk through when the time presents itself. Lord, we love you tonight for your word. We thank you that we can be in it. We pray our hearts and minds will be open to receive it. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said? All right, very good. You'll take your Bibles and turn to Leviticus. We're going to continue on in this series of messages on the grain offering. Now, when we get to this business on sacrificial giving, don't think I'm indicting you as a church. I'm indicting the whole country. I'm indicting the whole Western church, all right? So don't feel singled out. That's just where we're at. And I don't know. I will just say this before we get going here. When it comes to sacrificial giving, and this is above and beyond of a tithe. We're not talking about tithing tonight. We're talking sacrificial giving is what we're going to end up on. But I think there have been times, not in my life, but I think there have been times in this country where people have stepped up to the plate and sacrificially given, okay? I think if I live long enough, who knows, may not get to, but might. I think if I get to live long enough, I might see it again in these United States where the church really steps up and sacrificially gives. All right? So, praise God we're blessed. Amen? I mean, most of us have a fridge full of food and a tank full of gas, as expensive as it is, and all of that stuff. We've got climate-controlled air. I mean, it's incredible. All right, let's look at this thing. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, Leviticus chapter 2. I'll pick it up in verse 11. I think we've read this passage, but we'll read it again. Verses 11 through 16 just kind of set the context. We're talking about the grain offering. Leviticus 2, beginning in verse 11, it says, "No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall not offer up in smoke any leaven," that's, we're talking about yeast there, "or any honey as an offering by fire to the Lord. As an offering of the first fruits," there's a key word there, first fruits, if I can get it out, "you shall bring them to the Lord, but they shall not ascend for a soothing aroma on the altar. Every grain offering of yours, moreover, you shall season with salt, so the salt of the covenant of your God shall not be lacking." Covenant, that's another key word. "Covenant of your God shall not be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. Also, if you bring a grain offering of early ripened things to the Lord, you shall bring fresh heads of grain, roasted in the fire, grits of new growth," amen, grits, for the grain offering of your early ripened things. "You shall then put oil on it," we know that to be olive oil, "and lay incense on it," we know that to be frankincense. "It is a grain offering. The priest shall offer up in smoke its memorial portion, parts of its grits and its oil with all its incense, as an offering by fire to the Lord." Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Now, we ended last time, and we're picking it up the same spot we ended, I guess. Principles taught by the grain offering. And that's really the payout. We go through all these preliminary Bible studies. A lot of detail, a lot of digging, a lot of here, a lot of jumping around, a lot of trying to tie all these loose ends together. And then when we finally get all them loose ends together, we get to talk about the principles. This is the meat of it. This is the heart of it. So it's good, good stuff. So principles taught by the grain offering. We said, in light of these changes, from nomadic to agrarian, and of the commands which God gave the Israelites pertaining to the grain offering, there are several principles which they were to learn, which are equally applicable to Christians today. And so we start talking about these. The principle of dependence upon God for the physical necessities of life. The grain offering was one means for the Israelite to be reminded and for him to affirm in worship that it is God who's not only Israel's creator, remember we talked about this, but also her sustainer, amen? Creator and sustainer. The great danger, we said, for the Israelites once in the land of Canaan, enjoying the blessings from God's hand, was to forget, right, where they had come from and why they're there. Amen and amen? Now, some might think that while the Israelites of old were to offer the grain offering to develop and express their dependence upon God, some would look at that, man, Pastor Lee, that's in the Old Testament. I don't see how that really applies to me today. That has no application or bearing on me as a New Testament saint. Well, not so fast. Let's think about it. Our Lord taught differently. In the prayer which he gave as a model for prayer. Remember that? As a model for prayer. It includes the petition. Give us this day our daily what? Bread. That's right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. The independent, self-sufficient attitude about which God warned the Israelites is that same spirit which James condemns New Testament saints. Now let's look at James chapter 4. All right, let's find that right quick. New Testament, James. Give me some books around James. Hebrews, James. What's after James? First Peter, that's right. James. James chapter 4 online, folks. James chapter 4. All right? James 4:13. 4:13. If you found it? Amen, amen? Some of you? Yeah. James 4:13. The Word of God, I'll read it to you. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a what? A vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." Right? And what do we say the great indictment was on our country? Well, we're a kind of an independent group, aren't we? Right? We think it all depends on us. The problem for 20th century Christians in the Western world is that we have too many margins of safety. Too many margins of safety, right? Too many contingency plans. Too much to rely on other than God. Back here in the Old Testament, when they're doing these offerings, it's them and God. That's what they're depending on. The farmer of Moses' day had to look to God day by day for rain. It's going to rain today? Boy, I'm going to pray for rain. We need some rain on these crops. They look to God for protection from predators like that old grasshopper and all those many things that would come against their crops. They had to depend upon God. Whereas in our day, we have crop insurance and we have bank accounts and the like. In all honesty, Western culture, that's where we're living, Western culture does not trust in God because they feel they do not need to. And now it's my contention, we're going to get one day in our future. I mean, think about it. Inflation keeps climbing and political discourse keeps breaking down. We could be in a situation where we really have to trust God. Not just say we do, but really do. Amen? Does that make sense? All right. So we're talking about the principle of dependence upon God for the spiritual necessities of life. We've looked at the principle for the physical necessities of life, but let's delve off into some of the spiritual necessities of life. The dependence which God wants to develop in His people is not just a dependence upon Him for physical food, but it is a dependence upon God for guidance. It is a dependence upon God for direction. It is a dependence upon God relying on His Word, right? Seeking after His Word. Thus, even in the Old Testament, God stressed the importance of obedience to the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, this is what He said. "He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." Amen? So the daily provision of Israel's physical needs and the promise of prosperity in the land of Canaan was based upon Israel's obedience to God's law. Their obedience to God's law as expressed in His covenant. Now, let's look at that covenant right quick. Certainly we've looked at it before, but let's see it again. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All right, so Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Fourth book in the Bible, Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. You find it? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be the offering of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed you shall be when you go out. Amen. Everybody with that? Right? That's a great covenant, isn't it? If you do some things, God's going to take care of you. Now, what covenant are we living under? Because we're not living under that covenant. That's the covenant they were living under. But what covenant are we living under? Well, preacher, we're living under the new covenant. We're not under the old covenant anymore. We're under the new covenant. Well, does this mean that obedience is no longer, is it no longer vital to us? Is obedience no longer important to us? Oh, preacher, by far, we still got to obey. We still got to obey, don't we? Yes, yeah, right, yeah. You'll remember that in our Lord's testing in the wilderness, after the Lord's baptism by John the Baptist, and then he went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. At the end of that fast, Satan came to test him at his weakest point. His most weakest point, Satan sought to get him to make a stone into bread. You remember that, right? Right. Thus, in the fourth chapter, or I'm sorry, in the passage where he's tested, our Lord's response in the New Testament Gospels was to rebuke Satan based upon the statement that we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen? Thus, in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, we find the disciples urging our Lord to eat. They're saying, Lord, you got to eat. You got to get your strength up, man. You got to eat. And they're perplexed. They're perplexed at the Lord. They're confused by the Lord when he responded to them. And he said this. He says, I have food to eat that you do not know about. Right? The disciples, therefore, were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat. Did he? Did anybody bring Jesus anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. John chapter 4, verses 32 through 34. Yes, yes? So when our Lord spoke to, when our Lord spoke of himself as the living water in John chapter 4, he spoke of himself as the Savior of men. We're talking about spiritual blessings here, right? That's what we're talking about, spiritual blessings. Thus, those who drank of his living water never what? Bible says never thirsted again. Amen? But our Lord not only referred to himself as the living water, he also spoke of himself as the bread of life in John 6. As the true bread was like the manna, remember the manna back in the Old Testament? He, as the true bread, was like the manna which God gave the Israelites in the wilderness, which daily sustained their lives. Now, there is a sense then that we must not only once for all look to our Lord as our Savior, but we must look to Him daily as our sustainer, right? What was that whole thing going on back there in the Old Testament with the grain offering? Well, yeah, He's your Creator, but guess what? He's also your sustainer. And that principle translates and carries over to the New Testament, even though we're not under the old covenant any longer. We're under a new covenant, praise the Lord. It's a grace covenant, amen, by the blood of Christ, yes. It's good covenant, right? I'd say it's superior to the old covenant. We're under the new one now, but still in the midst of that, there's obedience. And still in the midst of that, Jesus wants us to know, based on the Old Testament covenant, that He's still our what today? Our sustainer, right? He's our Creator, but He's also our sustainer. So, don't forget, let this sink in. Much of our abiding in Him is that of abiding in His Word. In His Word. The bread of life, His Word. Things that proceed out of the mouth of God, His word. Which then now brings me to the principle of sacrifice. All right? How then do we develop the kind of trust in God that we should have? How then do we develop the kind of trust in God that we should have? There is one very simple way, and it is to give sacrificially. It is to give sacrificially. All right? Now, I told you we would get here. Yes, yes? I told you I would. We would. Now, while Christians today do not offer up grain offerings, we don't offer those up. We don't offer up grain offerings to God. We can offer up sacrifices by giving to others. Sacrifices by giving to others. Now, these sacrifices are described by the New Testament writers in Old Testament sacrificial terms. These sacrifices are described by New Testament writers, and they use Old Testament terms to describe them. In reference to the gift of money which he had received, Paul said this in Philippians 4:18. He says, "But I have received everything in full, and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent." He calls it a fragrant aroma. He says it's an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Philippians 4:18. Now, while it may be true that some Christians give, praise the Lord for them, amen, it is doubtful that most of us give sacrificially. I had a deacon tell me this, and I want to say it was my first church. He said, "Preacher, ain't none of us give sacrificially up in here." He goes, "There may be some tithing going on, but don't kid yourself. Ain't nobody giving sacrifice." I was highly offended, you know, that he would say that. But he was what? He was just speaking the truth, right? He was just speaking the truth. It's doubtful that most of us give sacrificially. This deacon way back in the day, 26 years ago, said nobody did, right? Now, that might have been overboard, but there may be some out there that give sacrificially. But for the most part, I don't think most people do. Amen? Or oh me? So, what kind of giving then, and this will help you kind of define it in your head, what kind of giving then is sacrificial? Well, if we go back and we look at Old Testament times, I would suggest that it's the kind of giving which makes us dependent upon God for our next day's bread. That kind of puts it in focus, doesn't it? It's the kind of giving which depletes our reserves and which causes us to look to God for our needs for the next day. Now, this is what's incredible. You can go to the mission field. You can go to the mission field. And you can go to where the gospel has first penetrated a people group. You define them by language. You can define them by culture. How you can define them by race, however you want it. It's the gospel of Christ has infiltrated. It started to take root. And it's amazing. You know what you find? You know what you find with these people? You find that they will exercise these New Testament qualities that are found in the Old Testament. That they will give. They will give sacrificially. It's a conundrum, isn't it? Here we are, 200 years in as a country, founded as a Christian nation, Bibles everywhere, and yet we've lost this, I would call it a pivot point to God's power. How can we experience God's power? Well, we experience God's power by obedience, experience God's power by prayer, experience God's power by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, all of that jazz, right? But this is another pivot point, man. To experience, or another lever to experience God's power, the sacrificial giving. Now, what have I said? I said this kind of giving, we see in the Old Testament when the Israelites offered up the first fruits of his fields, trusting God to provide an additional harvest. He brings in the first fruits, and he's looking out at his harvest. He's like, I'm supposed to give this first fruits. I'm supposed to give this. I'm supposed to give this. The rest of it's not come in. What if the locusts sweep in here? What if there's a bad storm come through here? I'm going to give these first fruits and everything's going to be lost. But that isn't how he thought. He thought, you know, God's telling me to give these first fruits. The rest of the harvest is out in the field. It's not come to ripe fruition yet. But God says, trust me. So I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to give him the first fruits. And lo and behold, he does. And God blesses him with a great harvest. Amen? Sacrificial giving is the type of giving we find exemplified by the Gentile widow who provided for the prophet who? Prophet Elijah, right? Even though her grain container was emptied. 1 Kings chapter 17, 8 through 16. Sacrificial giving is also the kind of giving we see in the Macedonian church, which gave out of their poverty. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2 says, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. In the context of the sacrificial giving of the Macedonians, we find these words reflecting the terminology of the Old Testament grain offering by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:10, where he says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So the generous sacrificial giving of the Macedonian saints is likened by Paul to the offering of grain by the Israelites. When men give sacrificially, Paul says God replenishes their supply of grain, so that they may give even more. That is the faith proposition. That's the faith proposition. Now, I will say this. I believe there must be a call or an opportunity to sacrificially give. We're not under the old covenant anymore. We don't have a prescribed first fruit offering. Well, you could call the weekly tithe or the monthly tithe or however you tithe. You could call that the first fruits. Okay. But when we read these passages in 1 Kings and we read these passages in 2 Corinthians and we talk about these things, there's been a call go out. There's been a call go out. There's a great need. And somebody steps, a group, someone steps up and shoulders the need. They don't know how they're going to do it, but they believe God for it, and they give sacrificially. So what are you telling me, preacher? You tell me to give sacrificially? I'm not. You pray that through. The calls will come to you. The calls from friends and family. The calls from missionaries. The calls from whatever. They'll come across your desk. And then that's when you have to what? You have to respond appropriately. Either the Lord's leading you or he's not. If the Lord's leading you to give sacrificially and you don't, you're being what? Disobedient. You're losing one of your pivots for God's power. If the Lord's leading you to give sacrificially and you know that and you respond and give sacrificially, buddy, you've just unleashed the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? That's where faith comes in. Are we clicking tonight? You still with me? Oh, me? It's a Wednesday night, man. You should tell the Sunday morning people that. Okay, all right. We're the choir, man. We're the choir. You got to love on us. All right, I love the choir. Amen. When we give, knowing that this giving depletes our supplies, we must do so, trusting in God to replenish our supply. Sacrificial giving requires faith in God as the one who faithfully supplies our needs and who gives us our daily bread. So, in my estimation, one of the greatest hindrances to sacrificial giving today is our lack of faith in God as our sustainer. Oh, we believe He's the Lord of our salvation. We believe He's the Lord of our creation. But when it comes to our sustainer, I don't know, man. I have to mull that around. Think about it. You don't have to mull that around. Think about it. You can take that to the bank. He is your sustainer. And that grain offering ties into that. That's part of the big principle. I'm bringing that grain offering. I'm worshiping the Lord, acknowledging that He's my creator and that He's my sustainer. Amen, amen. Thank y'all. Praise the Lord. Nobody threw anything. All right. I didn't have to duck. Yeah, if you're going to throw something, man, make it be a good Bible. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for your love and your grace, Lord. And Father God, we know that you're going to do something here in this country. Lord, we may be off the scene before it happens, Lord, but there's been enough praying going on here and enough worshiping going on in here in these United States of America. Bound to be another great awakening, Lord. Bound to be another great outpouring of your Spirit. Bound to be another great coming to salvation by literally thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people, God. It's bound to happen. Your word will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. So, Lord, we pray, and if it does happen in our lifetime, may we be ready to respond. May we be ready to go and to give and to do what is called upon us to do. And, Lord, as we do it, may we release the power of God in our lives and in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for being our great provider and our great sustainer. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Yes, sir, Brother John. It doesn't go through Friday? Oh, it's over the 4th. Okay. Early voting is over the 4th. Yeah. Yeah, early voting ends on Friday. So you can vote, what, all the way up till 7 o'clock? All right. You can vote all the way up to 7 o'clock. Saturday morning. That's right. Fall back. You got to fall back. 1 hour on Saturday night. You'll be here for Sunday school. You'll be here early. Well, you know, it's really supposed to be 2 a.m. Sunday morning. You're supposed to get up and crack it back to 1. But I just turn mine back when I go to bed on Saturday night. But if you want to get up, you want to set your alarm for 2 a.m., be my guest. No, you'll still make it.